mine and my neighbor's kingdom. 3 years ago, on July the 14th, 2013, I preached almost this same sermon. I'm redoing it a little bit for today because the lectionary dropped right again 3 years later in this same cycle. And I said, how fitting of what has happened this week. And I think about everything that fell into place, the words to the Psalter reading, the words of the Old Testament lesson, and the epistle lesson. All of it fell into place about needing healing, needing to remind ourselves of who God has called us to be and what He wants us to do. So, you know, you're right. As I said, it's just another sermon about the Good Samaritan. We all know that story all too well. We know the question that inquisitive lawyer approaches Jesus with, and he asks him how to inherit eternal life. And Jesus, of course, in his typical style, answers with a question. A question with a question. Don't you just like people to do that? Because they want you to think. And he says, what is written in the law? Now, the lawyer, of course, his reply is a recitation that we can find in the Old Testament, the Shema, that is found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, and also it is found in the Levitican laws that we find in Leviticus 19, 18. And when he tells him, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then the lawyer, in turn, asked Jesus this question, and who is my neighbor? So begins to tell a story. And the story is one that we all know, that a man was traveling through the territory that had a notorious reputation for robbers. The man is attacked, hurt, he's laying beside the road. He's wounded. A priest who holds one of the highest positions in the Jewish ranks walks by and does not help the man that day. You see, priests in that area of the Jewish laws, they were not allowed to touch the blood for fear of being seen unclean and a risk of losing their jobs. So they avoided things like that. They ran the other way. Someone that is supposed to be in charge, a priest in charge of the temple, in charge of all the things that are there, those synagogues, teaching and preaching and sharing, yet because of laws, because of what people might think and what people might do, they don't stop and help. Next, we have a Levite. A Levite is like you and me. They are lay people. They are the lay leadership of the Jewish people. He comes and he does exactly the same thing. He just passes by the other way. I don't know what his excuse was. I don't know if he was tired. I don't know if he'd been working hard. I don't know if he'd worked all night and was trying to get home. I don't know what his excuse was. But he too left this man laying there. And then we find a third visitor, an outsider, someone who's just passing through, a Samaritan. You see, the Samaritan is given the title of good for his actions. That's where it says good Samaritan. He was a Samaritan, and his actions made him a good Samaritan. Because the Samaritan feels compassion. He bandages the man's wounds, he takes him to an inn, and he pays for his room and board. You see, the story of the Good Samaritan has been picked over and preached over by preachers and teachers more than an all-day buffet at closing time. Have you ever got in right under the line and said, and they look at you and say, I don't believe I'll pay for this, I'm going to go home. There's nothing left. We've kind of done it. What else can be said? What else can be done? It seems there is not much left to glean on here from this text that someone else has not already touched on. You just see the story has become so common in the day that we live in that so many people use it in the secular world in conversations without any knowledge at all of a biblical reference. It's a world that we live in today. There's nothing wrong with paying it forward, passing it on, doing something good for the other. And you can ask people, what it means. It says, because someone said, you know, if somebody does something good for you, you're supposed to pay it forward. I said, well, what does that mean? Well, I remember seeing a movie one time, and it was about that. Some, you know, and I'm like, really? They have no idea, no idea that it comes from God's Word, that it comes that we are supposed to do. You see, news reports call anyone who does act for someone else a good Samaritan. Even the people in the media, who sometimes just irritate me, do things, they use the Good Samaritan. Yes, for many of us here today, this story is all too familiar, but it rings true. And we have examples every day of what to do and what not to do. They're in our world. We don't have to look very hard. Yet we still do it, don't we? We still continue to do what we've always done. I know I do sometimes. We pass by that stranded motorist on the freeway or the highway or the byways who are trying, and they're there, and we're like, wonder what I could do. Well, we keep going. Because what? We live in a world sometimes where we become so afraid. We become so afraid that we have forgotten how to be a neighbor. I can remember a long time ago when I was a lot younger and maybe not as smart. I was living in Kentucky, and I was in seminary, and I got off work about 11 o'clock one night, and I was making my way home down Highway 64, coming back around on the loop to try to get back to where I lived. When I was in seminary, I had a menagerie of jobs, so this was one of my many. But when I was, and it was pouring rain, and it was a four-lane road, and I'm over here, two lanes, just there, people zipping by, and I see this lady pulled over, tire flat, car, and she's out. Well, I go by, take my exit to go home. And I think, okay, Melinda, somebody, so I turn myself around. I've got to go back down around and come back and get, well, I pull up to her. Put my window down a little bit, and I said what she said. My car has a flat tire, and also it's just quit. Besides that, she said, I was going to drive it on. She said, I just got off work at the motel over here. I'm a maid, and I could see her dress. I said, well, please get in. It's pouring rain. And I thought, you know, you might get yourself shot. I don't know, but whatever. Let's go. Well, guess what? She lived in downtown Louisville, where I was in a church down there. We're doing a mission start in the probably worst part of downtown Louisville you can get. And I had never been completely all the places that she took me. And she said, turn here, turn here, turn there, turn there. And I think I'm getting deeper and deeper into where I don't know how to get back. But just as soon as I, never any nicer person had I met. Never any, and whenever we got, her husband came out, and she told him where that aggravating car was, and that it could stay there for all she cared. But she said, thank you so much. And they tried to pay, and I said, no. But I said, the only thing I ask is to tell me the quickest way to get back. How can I get back? And he said, oh, it's easy. And he said, it's easier getting out than it is getting in. So anyway, I got back, and I got back home, and it took me, all in all, probably one more hour than I would have. But I thought, if I was in the rain with a car that wouldn't work, and it was a long walk from where she was at, home, wouldn't I want somebody to stop and help me? And that's what I have to think about sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes we avoid going places that we're so unsure of. You see, we avoid going to those places. We avoid seeing people. You see, so many times we say, I sure hope that light up there stays green just long enough for me to not be confronted by that man holding the cardboard sign on the corner, or that person that's over there. We avoid the elderly lady down the street that walks her dog because we know that 30 minutes later she's still going to be standing there talking. And we're going to have a hard time getting away from her. You see, we're tired. We think our time's a little more important than everybody else's. And we don't have the time to think about others. We're too self-centered. We have become a world of people who are me, 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 I. We don't look for other people. Now, I have seen amazing things that people do. They love each other. They care. They give. They hand out. But they also, there's that part that we hold back because of our insecurity, of our lack of faith, of our lack of Jesus taking care of us and God putting us in that place. You say, is this story of the Good Samaritan to us just about guilt? Is it something that's supposed to make us feel guilty? Is it like those commercials that disrupt our favorite TV show that display those starving children in those developing countries or those malnourished and abused animals that we like to flip through and don't watch? Is that something that's supposed to make us feel guilty? You see, no, the story is not about guilt. The lawyer has one simple question. Teacher, he says, what must I do to gain eternal life? What must I do? Notice the words I and gain. Does the story of the Good Samaritan stem from the root of selfish intent? You see, is the lawyer's question self-centered? Is reward of eternal life the motivation for helping someone? Perhaps the Jewish understanding of eternal life was different from the idea of a mansion in heaven. Perhaps the lawyer really wanted to understand the ways of righteousness. Maybe the lawyer had a similar goal of Jesus to usher the exact into the kingdom of God. You see, remember, if you will, the story of the rich young ruler, who we can read about just verses before. And he asked Jesus the exact same questions, but Jesus tells him to sell all of his possessions and give everything to the poor. You see, there is no such command that is given to the lawyer in our scriptures today. Instead, the lawyer was told the story, and he was asked to reflect on what it meant. Regardless of the meaning, apparently you and I can understand Jesus' interpretation of eternal life by the parables that he shares with us. You see, if you and I have not already, you and I will eventually play all the characters in this story today. We will be people who pass by. Some for various reasons. We will also be those people who stop and help for whatever reason it might be. We will also be those people that'll play the part of Jesus and we'll ask somebody else those questions. And sometimes we'll be the part of the lawyer. Or we'll ask, well, who is my neighbor? Because sometimes we don't like the answers we get because we have to look inside to ourselves. You see, we will be the outsider trying to make sense of it all. We're going to be somewhere looking in, trying to figure it all out. You see, as we read this familiar story, we need to see it with fresh eyes, like children that are hearing it for the very first time. It is a story that desires to usher in a new kingdom and a better way of life. It gives hope for the broken and it gives purpose to the powerful. It is a vision of a shared kingdom, where my neighbors and I both are working together towards the same goals. If my neighbor doesn't reach that destination, then neither do I. And who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? I want us to think about that this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let us pray.